Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm happy to say that I have very good news this morning. It's wonderful news. Look at the end of verse 6. It says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's good news, isn't it? That's wonderful news to somebody who's been outcast as a sinner. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Why? Why has He done this? Well, look at the beginning of verse 6. It says, To the praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. All praise and all glory be unto Thy grace. We preach grace. Grace is a gift. It's a free gift. The message of the Bible is the message of His grace. The message of His free gift. And we don't want any other message, do we? Everything our God does is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Everything He does, it's for His glory. The reason He made us was for His glory. The true gospel is the gospel of His glory. That's the good news. It's not about me being right. It's not about you being right. It's about Him being right. That's how you'll know whether the message you hear is the truth or a lie. The true gospel is the gospel of His glory. His glory. Listen to Exodus chapter 33. It says in verse 18, Moses said to the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And Moses is about to hear the true gospel. The Lord God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Moses said, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Show me thy goodness. All right, I will. I'll make all my goodness and all my glory pass before thee. I'll be gracious. Grace. I'll show mercy. That's the true gospel we preach and believe, isn't it? That's the gospel of His glory. He gets all the glory. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, it says this, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh should glory. Our gospel message is this: no other glory but His glory. No other glory but the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says right here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That is our message. That's our goal. That's our aim as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to ascribe all glory to God in everything. All glory to God in everything, especially the work of salvation. Especially. Well, here in our text, Ephesians 1, verse 6, the Lord gives us an 8-word message. This is His word. He is the one who inspired Paul to write, and it's the Lord's message, and He gives us an 8-word message of His glory in this thing of salvation. Here are the 8 words. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The first 3 words are going to tell us who is the author of salvation. Who is the author? It says, He hath made. That is the theme of His entire book. He started Genesis 1:1 by saying, In the beginning, God created everything. Everything. God did it. And it's the same with salvation. Jonah, he thought he was going to do what he wanted to do. And God put him in the belly of the whale. And finally, Jonah said, Salvation is of the Lord. He hath made. Hebrews 12:2 says, He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith. And He's the finisher of our faith. If faith plays a role in salvation, He hath made. He's the author of our faith. John 1:13 said, Them that believe on His name were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If a person is born, if a person believes unto salvation, if they're born again, they were born of God. Children of God are born of God. What does that mean? It means He hath made. He hath made. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His choosing. It's His doing, and we have no part in it. No part in it at all. John 15, verse 16 says this, Ye have not chosen me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Ye have not chosen me. You have not chosen me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Isaiah 65, verse 1 says, I am sought of them that asked not for me. I'm sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. They were never seeking. I said, Behold me. Behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. You know, many people believe salvation is based on what a person does or decides. Many people believe somehow man plays a role in this. Somehow. Well, let's ask this question. Did anyone play a role in their own physical birth? Did anyone have a part in their own physical birth? Did anyone have a say? Did anyone decide to be born? The answer is no. It's the same with spiritual birth. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 9:16, It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's it. That's it. He hath made. Is the truth, the true message, the true gospel, the true testimony, Is it what I have done for God or what God has done for me? Think about that. Think about that. Is it really what I have done for God or is it what God has done for me? Well, I do know everything He does is for His glory. So whichever one gives Him more glory is the truth. Is it what I have done for God or what God has done for me? I've heard this question asked, is salvation a cooperation or an operation? Whichever one gives Him more glory is the truth. It's the truth. He is the author of salvation. He hath made. Now the next word in our text is the subject of salvation. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 6, He hath made us. Us. Really? Us? Me? What does the Scripture say about us? Well, if you have your Bibles open across the page from Ephesians 1, look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says we're dead in sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Us. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says, we don't walk in paths of righteousness. It says we walk according to the course of this world. We follow right along with the course of this world, right along with the flesh. Ephesians 2, verse 3 says, we are partakers of this world. And it goes on to say, we're by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath, us. Verse 4 says, but God. But God. You know, reading all that, we could never be the author of salvation. Never. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By grace. The us are those whom He has quickened together with Christ. It's by grace that we're saved. We preach grace. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. The us are those whom He chose. The us are those whom He predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son, adopted into His family. He hath made. He's the author. Us. We're the subject. And the next word in our text tells us what is the great blessing of salvation. Our great blessing. It says in verse 6, Ephesians 1 verse 6, He hath made us accepted. Accepted. This word accepted, it doesn't mean anything to a person who doesn't realize what it truly means to be rejected. Until a person really understands rejection, they can't understand and enter into acceptance. There's so many reasons for God to reject us, to reject sinners. Now let's just look at a few of them. And these are common. These are still common among men today. The first one is concerning Esau, the man Esau. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at verse 16. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. No place of repentance, no change in the outcome. He just didn't care. He didn't care. He rejected his birthright, and God rejected him. Rejected him. That's shocking, isn't it? That's shocking. All right, now let's look at Saul, the king of Israel for a time. Saul, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, and let's look at verse 23. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Saul rejected the word of the Lord. "He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Saul rejected the word. He didn't believe the word of God, and God rejected him. Isn't that something? Let me give you one more. Romans 1, verses 21 to 25 says this: "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." They didn't give him all the glory. They made themselves equal to God. That's what they did. And it says they changed the truth. They gave themselves a part in salvation. Nowhere in this book does it say that. Nowhere. Well, Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." He told his disciples concerning the Pharisees, "Leave them alone. Leave them alone." That's rejection. That's just rejection. But the good news of the gospel is this: He hath made us accepted. Accepted. You know what that truly means? It means highly favored. Highly favored. He hath made us highly favored. What is the proof of our acceptance with Him? What has He given us to prove our acceptance? Well, Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. That means He bought us with His own blood. There's a song that says, "Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon. He paid my debt, and He set me free." If He made you accepted, you're bought with a price. Bought with a price. You're bought unto God. Bought from the earth. We're not our own. We belong to Him now. And He's given us this gift of redemption. He paid our price. Verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." He's given us forgiveness. We've been forgiven. Now, our sins, they couldn't merely be forgiven. That's why He gave us redemption. He paid the price, and the paying of that price is what forgave our sins. What is the proof of our acceptance? He's given us a knowledge of His will. He's revealed the mystery of His will to us. Look at verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." He's revealed His heart to us, revealed His will to us. There was a man in the Old Testament named Manoah, and he and his wife saw God. God met with them. God came to them and told them His purpose and will. And Manoah was afraid. They were both afraid. And he said, "God is going to kill us because no man can see God and live." And Manoah's wife said, "No, He's not going to kill us. If He was going to kill us, He would have never shown us all these things." That's a proof that we've been accepted. He's revealed His will to us. How accepted are we? He's made us sons and daughters. Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." We have an inheritance. Children receive an inheritance. "He hath made us accepted." That's wonderful news. Well, the last three words in our text give us the ground of our salvation. It gives us the hope of our salvation. It gives us the confidence in our salvation. It says He did all of this. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. That is why we're accepted. It's because of the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? God the Father said in Matthew 3, verse 17, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Our hope and our confidence is in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it is. There's no ground for salvation in ourselves. There's no hope for salvation in our works, in the things we do. There's no ground in our righteousness because we don't have one. Everything we do that we think is a good thing, a good deed, the Scripture says it's putrefying sores in the eyes of God. It's not by our works. I'm so thankful for that. I know there's nothing good in me. I have no good works. I'm so thankful. It's such good news to me that it's not by works. It's not by religion. It's not in our desire to straighten up and fly right, to do better. It's only in the Beloved. Verse 7 says, "Through His blood." Through His blood. Verse 10 in Ephesians 1 here, it says, "In the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth," even in Him. It's in Him, in the Beloved. The gospel is a message of good news. It really is. The truth about us, the fact that we're helpless sinners and we're lost, that's nothing but bad news. But that's what makes the good news so good. So I want to remind us of three wonderful promises that the Lord has given us here in His Word. He's given this to sinners. As we read this Word and as we see our sin and we see our rejection from God and our fallen state in Adam, here's a glorious promise. Here's a good news that God has given to sinners. The first one is, God delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. We read it earlier in Exodus 33. He said, I will have mercy. I will. He hath made, the Father hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in showing mercy through the Beloved, Jesus Christ. The Scripture says He ever liveth to make intercession. He ever liveth for that. He lives for that. If somebody loves to do something, we say He lives for that. Well, the Scripture says He ever liveth to make intercession. He delights to show mercy for all who need mercy. The second thing is, God the Son, Christ, died for sinners. I need that. I'm a sinner. And a sinner delights to hear that. A sinner gets happy when he hears that. It's good news. The Apostle Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, real sinners. Not just the righteous sinners, not just the better sinners, true, deep sinners. And the third thing is God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent, He called Him the Comforter, is here to call out His sheep. That's why He's here. He said, My sheep will hear My voice. As long as the world is turning, there's hope for one more sinner. Dear sinner, if you feel you're in a place that you have no hope, as long as the world is turning, there's hope for one more sinner. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And He's done every bit of this to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why He did it. It's all for His glory. It's all for His honor. Thanks be to God, it's all for our good. Until next Sunday, may the Lord God bless this Word, His Word, to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at KingsportSovereignGraceChurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.